The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
The U.S. Forest Service says that if you get lost in the forest, unless you are very, very confident about the way out, you should stay put. You should always just hunker down and wait for help to come, which is a very difficult thing to do. Just staying put. But if you don't know the way out, if you don't know your way home, you will only make the problem worse as you wander around. As you make your way deeper and deeper into the wilderness, you get yourself in more trouble. If you get lost, you should stay put. And that staying put really does not feel like freedom. And that's what makes it so hard. It feels like you're being constrained, you're being confined. What am I just going to sit here and wait? And yet, you are freer there, not going anywhere, than you would be as you wandered aimlessly through the woods. The rebellious child who says to himself, "I'm running away from home," imagines that outside of his home, there is all kinds of freedom. Away from what his mom and his dad tell him to do, away from his responsibilities, away from his homework, whatever it might be. Out there is freedom. Of course, that freedom is short-lived, isn't it? As he begins to get hungry and cold. And he remembers all of the things that his mother and his father did for him, the kindness they showed him. He thought that freedom was out there, and that's why he didn't stay put. He should have recognized that instead, here within these walls, under this roof, with the love of his parents, there is freedom. Staying put is hard for us. And that's why Jesus starts in John chapter 8 today with these words, "If you abide in my word." That verb, abide, it means to stay put. I'd like to talk about these four things that Jesus describes in those first two verses of our lesson. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he starts with this one that is perhaps the most difficult, abiding, staying put. Or in a bigger sense, it has to do with where you live. So as Jesus was teaching, he abided in various houses. And he went this place and that place, and his disciples were abiding with him. They were with him. They stayed put. They stuck with him, which is hard to do because we are prone to wander. We are prone to not recognize the goodness of where we are and instead to think about the grass being greener elsewhere or mistaking freedom for constraint. It's like the child, I know some children like this at the age of 2 who are told to stay put. Stay put in your chair. Sit in your chair. Don't go anywhere. Finish your dinner, whatever it might be. Stay put. And you know what we all did when we were kids, every one of us, you start to wiggle around and you move your hind end to the edge of the chair and mom and dad say, "Stay put." And you say, "I am staying put. I'm not going anywhere." And pretty soon you slide out of your seat and you're bottoms on the ground and your arm is resting on the chair and mom and dad say, "Wouldn't you just stay put?" And you say, "I am. I'm still in my chair." And then you're sliding away from the chair and you're reaching out and touching it with just your fingertips and you think to yourself, "I'm staying put. I'm listening to the directions. I'm just where I should be." We are all, aren't we, like 2-year-olds, wandering away, not wanting to be where we are placed, not wanting to remain where God has put us, and least of all, wanting to stay with God's word. That's what Jesus says, if you abide in my word. After all, what's a word? What good can that do me? There are so many words in our world, all kinds of opinions and ideas and thoughts. What's so special about these words? I don't understand them half the time. Why should I abide in his word? And yet Jesus attaches all kinds of promises, all of the things that follow from this if. He attaches them all to his word. If you abide in my word, then everything else falls into place. And so that's where Jesus takes us first. Abide. That means two things. We talked about this last week. It means listening and obeying. So you cannot say that you abide in God's word if you do not hear it. If you do not hear it in church on a Sunday morning, if you do not hear it in your homes day to day, if you don't know God's word, how can you possibly abide in it? And so Jesus says, listen to my word and obey. Jesus says, if anyone commits sin, he is a slave to sin. If anyone commits sin, he is a slave to sin, means that if you hear Jesus' word and you go the other way, if you are a practitioner of sin, if you make it a habit, if you choose to do what your heart desires instead of what Jesus says, you are not abiding in his word. Instead, if we listen to Jesus' word and we take correction from him and we repent of our sins and we receive forgiveness and we follow his example, we are abiding in his word. Hear and obey. That's the starting place. Stay put. Don't follow the desires of your heart. Don't follow the invitations of the devil. Don't follow the enticements of this world. Don't listen to other words. Listen instead to Jesus' word. And if you do that, Jesus says, you are truly my disciples. This is where we begin with the promises that Jesus delivers. You are truly my disciples. A disciple is a student, a learner. And what is a student doing but learning to be like his teacher? This is the promise. If you abide in Jesus' word, he begins to make you more like himself. It's his word that takes up residence in your heart. You begin to become like Jesus and everything that entails, his righteousness, his trust in his heavenly Father, his life, his spirit, it all becomes yours. It's the best kind of discipleship. Not just learning facts, not just being a student of information, but learning to be like your teacher. That's what happens if you abide in his word. And it's a promise. It's not something you have to manufacture. It's not something you have to work out on your own. It comes simply as a result of remaining in his word. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. In a world that is full of falsehood, really probably no more today than at any other time in history, but we see it so clearly today, in a world that is full of falsehood, the truth is precious. The truth is precious, but it is also very painful, especially the truth about ourselves. And that's one of the things that Jesus promises to deliver. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth. I recently heard an old friend talking about an exercise he went through when he was learning to be a presenter. He presents on technology topics, and the exercise was he was told to go into a room and begin delivering his presentation facing a blank wall. There was nobody else in the room. Just you and the wall start delivering your presentation. And then one at a time, critics would come into the room and listen and make comments about his presentation. He talked about how terrible it was, never knowing when somebody was going to come in and criticize what you were doing, when someone was going to come in and catch you not doing a great job at your weakest moment, never being prepared for what kind of commentary was coming. He talked about how terrible that was, but also how utterly necessary it was. He credits that experience with helping to make him a good presenter. The truth about yourself is painful, and given the opportunity, we would rather never, ever hear it. I would rather never know the depths of sin in my heart. I would rather never know about my failures and weaknesses. I'd rather never know about my shortcomings, the ways that I have hurt other people. I'd rather never know what others think about me righteously because of my misdeeds. I'd rather never know. And yet Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. As painful as it is, you will know the truth. But here's the thing, the truth is not just truth about you. It's also truth about the God who loves you. In fact, Jesus himself is the truth. And knowing the truth is not just knowing this information once again, but it is knowing the one who has set you free from lies. It is becoming a friend of the truth. It is having light and clarity brought into your life. After all, when we try to cover up the truth about our sin, about our weakness, about our errors, about our misdeeds, when we try to cover that up, our lives are miserable. Because once you start to tell a lie, it consumes the rest of your life. If you're taken up with the lie about yourself, that I'm just fine the way I am, I don't have anything that I need correction for, I don't need any help, I don't need forgiveness. If you start with that lie, you spend the rest of your life trying to maintain that lie, and it is a miserable existence. If you have ever tried to maintain a lie, you know how awful that is, just waiting for someone to find you out. And that's what's glorious about the truth. As painful as it is, the light and clarity it brings sets you free. You will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. It's helpful to think about what this truth sets you free from. Knowing about yourself, knowing about the God who loves you and sent his son to die for you, knowing that, what does that set you free from? Well, it's helpful to think about these three enemies that we face in the world, face in our lives. We face the enemies of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Let's start with the world. The truth sets you free from the false promises that the world puts in front of you. The false promise that the things of this world can satisfy you, can make you happy, and give you hope. Man does not live by bread alone, Jesus says, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You are set free from chasing after the things of this life. And you are set free from your sinful nature. This sinful, darkened heart that you inherited from Adam, which drives you on to pursue things that cannot produce blessedness, things that lead you to death, you are set free so that you do not have to follow your passions. You don't have to listen to your heart, but you instead can listen to Christ, your teacher. You are set free from the devil, who is a slanderer and an accuser, who has taken all of your sins, reckoned them all up, he's made a big long list of them, and he is ready at any moment to come and present them before you and say, God certainly cannot love you because of all that you've done. You are set free from those accusations because Christ's blood speaks a better word. Jesus says, I have taken care of all of them. He has shredded that list. He's taken all of your guilt. He's freed you from the accusations of the devil. You've been freed in Christ's blood from all your enemies. And you've been set free for something glorious. Jesus talks about the slave and the son in our gospel lesson today. He says, the slave is not free. He's in the house, but he's not free. He has to do what the master says, and he's driven hard by whips. He's compelled. The slave, if he thinks that freedom is to run away, to be out of the house, misses the glory of being a son. You are set free to be sons in your Father's house. That is to say, you are set free to live in God's kingdom. You are set free for a freedom that is not like that of a rebellious child who wants to get away or the person who is wandering aimlessly in the forest, but the one who lives safe and secure in the home of a heavenly Father who loves you and would do anything for you. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is what it means to be a Lutheran. Sometimes the denominational differences within Christianity in our world today are perplexing They're troublesome, they're heartbreaking. This is what it means to be a Lutheran. It really means nothing other than to be a Christian. Because it means hearing Jesus' word and receiving everything from him as a gift. If you were to abide in any other word, if you were to become the disciple of anyone else, if the truth was darkened, then you would not be free. You'd be left always chasing and working and never finding your way to be right with God. That was the challenge at the time of the Reformation. Martin Luther couldn't find his way to work hard enough to be right with God. And then the Holy Spirit worked his way into his heart, and it became clear that this righteousness, this freedom, God wants to give you as a gift. Not something that you are deserving, not something that you are owed, not something you have done anything to work for. Not something that requires you to be perfected first, but something that perfects you. We have a God who loves the unlovable, and through his love makes them lovable. And that is the gospel. That is the scandalous best news that this world has ever heard, and that is what is preserved for us in the church. That's what's preserved for us through the Reformation. Christ's word is poured out abundantly on you. Here you sit today, receiving even today this gift. This gift that no one could manufacture, that no one could work up on their own, is produced in abundance, like the manna that was rained down in the wilderness, or like that bread that was distributed among 5,000. Here it is for you, and so abide. Stay put. Recognize all that Christ wants to do for you, the freedom that he wants to give to you, even now, and especially in his kingdom without end. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice that we get to hear this word day in and day out. Hold it fast and never let it go. To God alone be all glory now and forever. Amen.